From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his final message in a series on Paul's epistle to the Colossians. As we've seen during the past weeks, this epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Dr. Cairns will be with us in a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 8. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, that ye tell him that I am sick of love. Such is the language of the believer panting after present fellowship with Jesus. He is sick for his Lord. Gracious souls are never perfectly at ease, except they are in a state of nearness to Christ. For when they are away from him, they lose their peace. The nearer to him, the nearer to the perfect calm of heaven. The nearer to him, the fuller the heart is, not only of peace, but of life and vigor and joy, for these all depend on constant fellowship with Jesus. What the sun is to the day, what the moon is to the night, what the dew is to the flower, such is Jesus Christ to us. What bread is to the hungry, clothing to the naked, the shadow of a great rock to the traveler in a weary land, such is Jesus Christ to us. And therefore, if we are not consciously one with him, little marvel if our spirit cries in the words of the song, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, if ye find my beloved, tell him that I am sick of love. This earnest longing after Jesus has a blessing attending it. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and therefore, supremely blessed are they who thirst after the righteous one. Blessed is that hunger, since it comes from God. If I may not have the full-blown blessedness of being filled, I would seek the same blessedness in its sweet bud pining, in emptiness and eagerness, till I am filled with Christ. If I may not feed on Jesus, it shall be next door to heaven to hunger and thirst after him. There is a hallowedness about that hunger, since it sparkles among the Beatitudes of our Lord. But the blessing involves a promise. Such hungry ones shall be filled with what they are desiring. If Christ thus causes us to long after himself, he will certainly satisfy those longings. And when he does come to us, as come he will, oh, how sweet it will be!
Lord, the King of glory, here, through no
Over the years since Let the Bible Speak has been on the air, many people have commented on the beautiful sacred music which is a part of each program. Now you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. In this, his final message in a series of studies in the Epistle to the Colossians, Dr. Cairns is addressing the subject of living in the experience of God's power. The text is chapter 1 and verse 29, where Paul says, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." Paul is speaking of his labors to produce fully mature Christians. The first way in which God's people experience God's power is in salvation. Then, believers experience the power of God in their lives in the process of sanctification. It is God's will that his people be holy, and every true child of God will have that desire for holiness. Also, God works confession in his people, whereby they come to say the same thing about sin that the Lord says. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit works conformity to Christ as he produces in them the fruit of the Spirit, accomplishing in them what Paul calls Christ fully formed in them. All of this leads to Christians experiencing the hope they have in Christ and victory over sin. And now to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
This fruit of the Spirit, it's very, very expressive. What do you expect to get if you have an apple tree? You expect it to produce apples. What's the fruit of an apple tree? Apples. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, and write down the nine aspects of that holy fruit. In other words, what he's saying, and he says this again and again and again in so many ways through his epistles, and the other writers of the New Testament make the same point. What he's saying is that this is not just a religion of profession. It's not just a religion of theological exactness, though it is that. This is a living, vital union with the living Christ. The living God is within you. And since the living God is within you, he's working within you. And there is fruit for that. There's results for that. God works conformity. And so Paul prayed that New Testament believers would experience the working of God's power within them to sanctify. Time does not allow me to go through those prayers this morning. Again, I advise you, I've done this, I couldn't tell you how many times, and I have no doubt if the Lord spares me, I'll do it many, many more times. But Ephesians 1, 17 and following, just to get on your knees and pray that through, that great prayer of Paul for the Ephesians. Pray it for yourself. Ephesians 3, starting at verse 14, but especially verses 16 through 19. Pray it for yourself. We have already, in these studies, looked at Colossians 1, 9 through 11, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. The end of the book of Hebrews. He prays, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect, mature, fully grown, fully formed in Christ, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." Men and women, that's Paul's prayer for God's people. That has to be your prayer for you and my prayer for me. The Holy Ghost works conformity. The Holy Ghost, as the Word assures us, promises Christians victory. One of the greatest enemies of a peaceful and powerful experience of grace in the lives of God's people is a sense of hopelessness. Hopelessness can turn victory into defeat. I'll give you an illustration. From the Great War of 1914-18, in the final thrust of Ludendorff, the great German commander, he had his forces massed. The Hindenburg Line was unbreachable, so they thought, and he was pressing, and he had actually various options. Victory was within his grasp. At that time, one of the most incompetent, wasteful, careless generals in military history, the British General Earl Haig, who sacrificed millions of men for nothing but inches of mud, decided, overcoming his previous prejudice, that he would take nearly 500 newly manufactured novelties, Winston Churchill's great idea of the tank. And with that, at awful cost, because it was a botched operation, but with that he breached the Hindenburg Line. The Germans fell back, they got entrenched again. But Ludendorff realized the line had been breached. The great impregnable defense had been broken. And while yet his enemies had lost two or three times more men than he had, yet there came a spirit of hopelessness. And from that moment, not because of a victory on the field, for believe me, there were no winners in that war. Not because of a defeat that his enemies inflicted on him, but by a spirit of hopelessness, he was driven in absolute shame, so that the English would run around the streets singing, "We won the war, we won the war, we won the war." Let me tell you, when that spirit takes over the mind, no hope. You can turn the greatest victory into total shambles. That's why it's important for Christians to recognize today, however deep the battle, however bitter the struggle, however entrenched the flesh, there is hope. The devil comes to you and says, "You've failed. You're finished. You're through." If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. And I tell you something, I remember reading this as a young man, battling the flesh and hopelessness, and I'd read it many times, but it hit me with its simplicity and with its absolute clarity. Galatians 5:16, "Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, I'm not saying walking in the Spirit's always simple, that it doesn't present a great challenge. We live in a carnal, vile, and filthy world. We have an enemy that's against us, and he will wreck and ruin everything he can. I was talking to one of our ministers yesterday, and he was experiencing a great attack of the devil from a most unexpected source. And he said, "You try to deal with people in a Christian way, you try to show the love of Christ to them, and you just run into the devil." And he said, Ivan Foster, in his own inimitable way, summed it all up so perfectly. He said, "Brother, remember, the devil is never a gentleman. Neither he is. He's going to kick you when you're down. He's going to be as vile as hell can be. So don't be surprised." It's not going to be easy always to walk in the Spirit. But the promise is, walk in the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? It means in the realm of the Spirit, yes, but what does that mean? It means walking in submission to the Spirit. It means accepting the word that the Spirit brings, the direction that the Spirit gives. It means yielding every area of life to the leadership of the Spirit of God, presenting Christ in His word. That's what it means. And the promise is, quit your compromise, quit your backsliding, quit your trying to walk with one foot in the world and the other foot in the church. Quit trying to serve two masters and walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Promise of God. Unbreakable, unshakable. Victory for God's people in the Christian life. Because as John said in chapter 4, verse 4 of his first epistle, ye have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So God's people experience God's power working in them in sanctification. Now, I'll not be here next week unless something radically changes. So I'd better, and I'll not be here for many weeks after that, unless something radically changes. So I'd better finish the final point, and this is where my wife will criticize me, and she'll say, there you go again, and spend 10 minutes on the first point, and leave yourself only 2 minutes for the last. The final thing I'll say, God's people not only experience God's power working in them in salvation, and God's power working in them in sanctification, but God's people experience God's power working through them in service. And I think really that's the primary meaning of Paul's words in the text when he says he's laboring, striving according to the working of God, which works in him mightily. You see, what Paul was claiming for himself was what was true of the Lord Jesus. Remember, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. That really shook them. They were used to learned preachers. I wish I had time to get off on a tangent here. God's people, God's church can be the dumbest bunch of sheep that ever you met. And I'm talking especially about preachers, including me. We have this knowledge if only we could be more erudite. Now, I'm all for learning the things that a minister needs to learn to be able to present the Word of God. But this is what has cursed the evangelical movement. They thought, if we could only be more erudite, if we could only gain acceptance in academia, then it would be so helpful to the cause of Christ. All it has done is curse and corrupt the cause of Christ. You see, these Jews were used to learned preachers. The preachers, the speakers, the Sanhedrin leaders, the great Pharisee leaders, the rabbis of the Jews, they were so learned, they make our scholars today look like intellectual pygmies. You're talking about a bunch of men who from memory could reconstruct practically the entirety of the Hebrew text. You're talking about men who knew not only the meaning of a word and the usage of a word, but could recite to you every place it occurred, when and why it occurred. They were men of immense learning. The Jews were used to that. But when Jesus came, though he was more learned than all of them put together, what struck the people was that his word was with power. There was a living power within it. Now, that can be so with a learned preacher. This is not to denigrate the learning. It may be so with a learned preacher, but what I'm saying is that let us never substitute anything in the service of God for the power of the Holy Ghost.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.